Wolfing Down Food Science.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Wolfing Down Food Science, the Happy Holiday episode that we know you'll love.
Happy Holidays!
So, have you ever noticed that certain words are only used around the holidays, like jolly? You know, as a scientist, we're always analyzing things. And so, is jolly just like a higher level of happy, or is it a whole nother thing?
I think it's like a Christmas level of happy.
Yeah. Christmas has a higher level of happiness, I feel like. It's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go for holly jolly. Is that like how much higher is that? Is that an order of magnitude? What is the difference between jolly and holly jolly?
I mean, I'm sure when Burl Ives recorded that song, that's what he was thinking.
Yes.
Well, I think holly jolly.
Thinking about the levels of happiness and orders mm-hmm. of magnitude and graphing it, and is it a log scale or is
it's a log scale? It's definitely a log scale. It's a log scale.
I don't know. When I think of holly jolly, I think of like when Santa's laughing and his belly is like shaking. So I feel like that's like the epitome of holly jolly.
Okay. Yes.
Kind of measure.
Highest level of holly jolly possible.
That's the highest level, highest order of magnitude. Well, we're here to celebrate the holidays, and we have a few ideas. So, Paige.
All right. So, what do we have on tap for everybody today? We have our favorites. Yes, you heard that correctly. Favorites. So, what are our favorite things about the season? We also are going to talk a little bit about what we're looking forward to the most in the coming year and the season, and then what you have all been waiting for, our WDFS gift list for the season. All right. So some of our favorites, pun intended, I guess, that we do at our house for Christmas are sugar cookies and gingerbread people. So I've done those for years and years, and they last for so long that I just take them to every party that I go to or everything where we need to bring food or whatever. So we do cut out sugar cookie recipes, and it's a older Martha Stewart recipe, gingerbread men, and then we pipe decorations on them. And that's always just something fun that we enjoy doing. It used to be just me before I had my daughter, and when she got old enough, she enjoys decorating as well. My husband does not partake in the decorating, although he partakes in the cookies. So,
well, Paige, may I say you did an excellent job with the gingerbread contest. You and your team had an award-winning gingerbread house. So, nice job on that.
Beth and Anne just knocked it out of the park. They did an amazing job, and you guys, both Eliza and Keith, both of you had outstanding houses. So
I'm a little salty about it. I think we should have won something for creativity. We had
yours was very creative with the story and the whole thing.
Our story was very creative, I think.
I had an instant coffee driveway and nobody even noticed. I mean,
I noticed
it's because you used decaf.
That's true. It was a decaf instant coffee driveway. I didn't want to waste, like, you know,
good caffeinated coffee. Good
caffeinated coffee, yes, on that. Yeah. I guess that gets to my favorite, which is and has been for years now, is City Roast coffee, basically something between medium and dark roast with Howling Cow eggnog as creamer. So that is, to me, my favorite of all time for the holidays.
That sounds delicious. Yeah.
I don't know if I told you, but after my mom listened to our Thanksgiving episode, she went and bought 6 cartons of the eggnog.
did she drive up to the store?
Yes.
Get it? Yes.
And we're not like an eggnog family. Like, that's not something that we have every year. And so it was a little bit like, why did she get 6? And we had so many that she ended up having to make an eggnog pie. Because we had too much. Yeah. It was actually very good. It was very, very good.
So I made an eggnog panna cotta for a get together that we went to. So I just used the Howling Cow eggnog and put a little gelatin in it and made a panna cotta, and that went over really well too. That so I think perfect. You can do so much with the eggnog.
Well, that stuff, it is ready-made ice cream mix, in my opinion. So we have we've put it into an ice cream maker and made some really fantastic ice cream that way. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've had in previous episodes, we've talked about shelf life and how important thinking about shelf life is. Well, we were cleaning out our deep freeze. And so I don't know how this happened, because we usually drink this really fast, but somehow there was a carton of eggnog at the very bottom from Christmas past. And and we thawed it out, and it was still amazing. So that stuff, oh my goodness, talk about shelf
life. I've done that before.
Oh,
I've put it in the freezer, and then like in April or June or something, pull it out, and it's like, oh, it's still very good in coffee.
Yes. Yes.
Me and my mom did have an interesting question, because when she was making the eggnog pie, she had to use Cool Whip. Uh-huh. And we're confused about like the measurements of Cool Whip, because the container itself says that it's all 8 ounces. But if you actually put it in a cup, like it fills, I think, 3 cups or 2.5 cups, which is not 8 ounces.
Oh, this is why.
Wait for volume.
Always. Always default to weight versus volume. Oh, yes. Yeah.
She had a messed up pie the first time she did it, because it said 8 ounces. So she did the entire container, or I guess it said 2 cups, which is 16 ounces. So she did 2 containers, and it was way too much. She ended up only needing 2/3 of 1 container.
This is such a great food science episode.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, this is why. Okay. This is why. I have my wish list already, but if we didn't have a kitchen scale, I would add a kitchen scale to that wish list. Kitchen scales are just amazing, and cooking by weight, or if you're a scientific purist, by mass versus volume, so much better. It just turns out the same every time. So
amazing how much you can compact or inflate something.
Yes, absolutely.
Changes the volume entirely.
I'm just so confused. What is the 8 ounces in the Cool Whip? Like, is it the, if it was condensed version?
It's the weight.
Oh, okay.
It should be the weight, not the volume.
Oh.
Because there's so much air in Cool Whip, because it's a foam. So it makes the volume a little different than like an 8 ounce weight.
Okay. This was like really like on her mind.
She'll be
glad to get an answer.
But then when you're measuring things, when you have these measuring cups or like the really big glass measuring bowls or what have you, it'll say ounces on the side, but really it's talking about if that was pure water or close to it. That's what it's really designed to measure. So if it's something really fluffy, like Cool Whip, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So that's where, it's just very helpful to use weight rather than volume.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, good to know.
You want to get super nerdy, the problem is density.
There we go.
And water is equal density and volume, right? Yeah. Or equal weight and volume. So.
And here I was worried that we weren't going to get nerdy enough on this holiday episode. So, we've accomplished it.
We've gone there multitude of times already. So, just keep going.
So, Eliza, I have to find out what luminaries are. That was one of your favorites. So, what in the world is a luminary?
So, my favorite is the luminaries. It's a tradition, kind of, that we do in my neighborhood every year. It started because I'm in Girl Scouts and we sell luminaries as like a way of raising money. And it's basically like a bag, and then you put sand in it to hold the bag down, and then you put a candle in it and you line them on your driveway. And so you put them all out on Christmas Eve. So then on Christmas Eve, the entire neighborhood should be like lit up on the streets with these luminaries, and you can walk around and look at it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. I was just trying to figure out, what part of this is edible? Is this a cookie? I've obviously led a very sheltered life, not knowing about what this is. So,
well, it honestly, it isn't that well known, but it's such a big thing in my neighborhood and for my mom especially, because she still continues to be the sole like seller of our neighborhood of these luminaries because she refuses to give it to the Boy Scouts.
Oh.
I was gonna say, in our neighborhood, it's the Boy Scouts that used to do it.
It's for my international travel troop is what we raise the money for. And so she can still use the money from the luminaries and put it in that account for her and my dad to go on a trip later on. Because it doesn't have to be just like the girls. It can be anyone.
Well, I have to say, you know, fundraising wise, you know, being involved with the Boy Scouts and trying to sell popcorn is good, but the Girl Scout cookies are great. Mm-hmm. So the fundraising capabilities, you know, with that kind of thing are just limited. There's only so many movies you can watch and only so much popcorn, but Girl Scout cookies, it's just like, oh yeah, absolutely. Let's have another box.
Luminaries actually take a lot more effort than I thought in the beginning, because we have to go and we bag all of the sand. So it's like probably, I don't even know, like a few pounds of sand in one bag. And because each kit gets 6 bags. So basically my dad takes his truck to the woman who has the sand, and we just like scoop the sand into the bags, and then we put all of them in his truck, and we always have to drive like slowly because it weighs his truck down so much, because we have like over 100 bags of sand back there. Like it's a lot.
And that's then we just a lot too, mm-hmm. to manage throw it all like a lot garage. Of weight.
This makes me think of kind of the polar opposite of this, if you will. So my son went to the Chinese Lantern Festival for the first time this year and showed me pictures of these beautiful, you know, lanterns taking flight, mm-hmm. basically, you know, putting, you know, a little candle inside of a bag and then letting it fly. So anyway, I was just imagining kind of the luminaries on the ground and then these beautiful lanterns taking off at the same time. So anyway, maybe there could be like some sort of combination festival. That'd be cool. Thinking about 2024, there's quite a bit to look forward to, I think. And as with other things, we've made a list. Paige, what are you looking forward to?
So, you know, you try to set goals in a new year. One of my goals is that I would really like to get back to more creative endeavors, be more involved in the music program at church. And I get real excited about interior design and kind of geek out on that, and cooking and painting and all of these creative things. I feel like they've kind of been on pause. There's different seasons in life. Sometimes you grind hard at work, and sometimes there's a little more space for other things. And I'm hoping the coming year will be space for other things, specifically the creative things. So that's what I'm looking forward to as we move forward. How about you, Keith?
Well, I think number one would just be having conversations with friends over coffee. I think eggnog in the coffee is optional, but but just doing that, having had the opportunity to go visit Paris for the first time ever this year and seeing all the cafes and just kind of observing just all of the folks hanging out and drinking coffee. I'm thinking, that's something we could use some more of. Just hanging out with friends and drinking coffee and just that conversation. I think it's such a vital and enriching thing in life. And of course, I love travel, so I'm looking forward to more travel with the family. I think our standard, you know, travel destinations would be things like the Outer Banks, but just looking forward to more travel opportunities with family, and then teaching, you know, the opportunity to work with the most important stakeholders in the university, as our department head often says, and I totally agree, just working with those students to help them achieve their goals. And doing that with teaching. So those are the big things on my list. Eliza, what about you?
My first one is definitely going to be seeing my sister. She's in Greece right now. I told you all about this, but she's studying abroad there for her graduate school. And so she's going to be there for about 2 to 3 years. And she's coming back for the first time since September, I believe, in like 3 days. And I'm very, very excited about that. Oh my goodness, my sister is my best friend and I miss her so, so much. So that's like what's first in my mind. And then next would definitely have to be my dad's family white elephant showdown. So I call it a showdown because it's kind of crazy. Like, we work as a family unit, me, my dad, my mom, and my sister, when we go to this white elephant. And it's actually insane because... So even when I was younger, like when I was like one of the youngest children in the household, I'd still get things stolen from by like my uncles.
So maybe explain what a white elephant showdown is.
Exactly. So, that's the elephant in the room right now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So white elephant is basically everybody brings a gift and you put it like in the center of a room and you go. You usually pick numbers out of a hat and like you go by order of number. So like the first person would go and they can either take a gift to open or they can steal someone's gift. So the first person obviously is going to take a gift to open. Mm-hmm. But after that, you can either steal someone's gift or pick a new gift. And if a gift is stolen, you can then either pick another gift or steal someone else's gift. And this keeps going and going. And usually there's only like one or two rounds because we have a pretty large group of us. There's like over 20. So it gets a little bit bigger. But if something is stolen twice, the next steal, it is then yours. Like it's yours and no one can take it from you. So it's kind of strategic, honestly, in how like you want to figure out like what number you have and like if it would be a good idea to steal something now or steal something later. And so the way that my family does it is we kind of work together, and I don't know who's going to be listening to this podcast, so I don't know if I tell them, but I feel like it's kind of obvious. Tell them.
Your secret's safe with us and 10,000 other people.
Alive. I know.
That's totally fine.
For sure.
Because we basically like we make like eye contact with each other. And if there's something like one of us really wants, like my mom really wants it usually, or like my sister will like plan and like strategize like through our like family telekinesis, I guess, to figure out how to get that gift. And it's worked for us in the past couple years that we've done it. Yeah. And we mainly do that because before then it gets so cutthroat that like anybody will steal anything. Like they do not care how old you are. If you're sobbing over this present, they do not care. They will take it.
That's the best white elephant though. That really is. It's no fun if no one steals.
Okay. I think we've done this before, but I think my family, so part of the family is from New England, and I think they called it Yankee Swap. I think that's what they called it. I do recall we tried it one or two times and then decided it was just too intense, you know, like, yeah.
It wasn't your vibe.
No. Well, I'm wondering, like, does anyone put a gift in there that no one would want? I mean, just to mix it up, you know, would you have a gift in there that like literally no one would want this thing?
Yeah. They call those gag gifts. They're like, cause there is a price limit usually like on how much you have to spend or how much you can't spend over. And sometimes people will get like the gag gifts, like an ugly Christmas sweater or like something that nobody really wants, but it's kind of like funny, I guess.
We do one with my Sunday school class at church, and people, if it's a really good gag gift, they'll recycle it.
Oh, like, yeah.
People come back the next Christmas.
Yeah. Blankets are always a big one, I feel like, that people get. But my friend, she just did one with her rowing team, and the price limit was $15, but someone put in, like, a Dolce & Gabbana, like, set of like body lotion, perfume, and something else. And each
thing not in 15,
No, each thing in the package was like priced at like $90. Sometimes there's gems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 1 year at our Christmas party, somebody did a wreath and they had gift cards all over the wreath. The wreath was covered with gift cards. But the trick was only one of the gift cards had money.
Oh, okay.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it was pretty funny because it was like, well, how much effort are you willing to put into this wreath to get the gift card?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a pretty good one.
This reminds me of like an old family story where when my mom and dad got married, they were given enough like canned food to stock their pantry, but none of the cans had labels.
Oh no.
Yeah. And a few of the cans of, you know, thanks to my jokester uncles were dog food.
Oh.
So yeah. So anyway, that was a big story around our family for years and years.
Hilarious.
So yeah. Anyway, if anyone's got a wedding coming up, you know, and you're just not sure about what to give, there's a good idea for free.
Well, speaking of gifts,
that would be a pretty good white elephant too. If you haven't gotten yours yet, Eliza, there you go.
Thank you. Yeah. Speaking of gifts, our next idea was moving down food science gift list. And what would the food scientists in your life like for Christmas?
I love a good gift list. Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that always comes to mind for me are books, because I feel like it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. Like you can keep reading and get going back to it. I have quite a collection of cookbooks, and so I love those. But one that I really like is called The Flavor Bible, and it is a book of lists, which just makes me so happy. It is a list of different foods or different herbs and spices and different things like that. And then it tells you what pairs well with it.
Oh.
So like if you have sweet potatoes, it lists all the different things that pairs well with it. And so basically they just surveyed a lot of chefs and asked them what goes with what. And so if a lot of them said one particular item, that item is bolded. And so you can almost look at this book with all the list. And if you know cooking technique, you can make your dinner, right? You have, because it tells you, okay, if I put sweet potatoes and maple and sausage together, that will be great. Maybe some smoked paprika, right? So it's just a really cool book that sort of takes a list approach to cooking. So if you like flavor pairings and things like that, it works really well. The other book for the bookworm that I'll recommend is Future Foods, How Modern Science is Transforming the Way We Eat by David McClements. And that is just, if you like food science or you're interested in food science, it's a really good read. It talks a lot about more modern techniques and modern ways of processing and ingredients and things like that. But it also gives you a pretty good background on the context of how that came to be. So if you like food science, it's a very easy read, and it is a very good book, in my opinion.
Do we like food science? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to my Nana right now. If you are listening to this podcast before Christmas, those were two great books that I would love.
Ooh, there we go.
My Nana is the ultimate gift giver of Christmas. She starts like months ahead. I swear, it's insane.
That's awesome.
Well, I just keep thinking about that flavor Bible and wondering if, you know, are there any things that might work on Iron Chef? You know, because they unveil like the secret ingredient, like it's octopus or whatever it is. And then you have to pair it and make desserts out of it and, you know, main dish. So do they have any weird kind of items that you could pair with other weird items?
I will look. It's on my bookshelf right here, so I'll look.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering, you know, if it had like a Iron Chef certified stamp on the front, I would go right out and buy it right now. Yeah, so just I'm just curious about these things.
No, I totally understand. I love curiosity.
Yeah.
You tell us what you want for Christmas, what's on your wish list, and I'll look up octopus.
Sounds great. Okay. Well, personally, I would like a brand new ultra high pressure liquid chromatography instrument with a triple quad mass spectrometer. So Santa, if you're listening, I've been really, really good this year. Please, please, please. So that's what I would like to see under the tree.
I think that's
the next order of magnitude.
That would be like, that would be holly jolly good.
Yes,
that would be.
Yes, totally agree, and totally a nerdy gift, but so specific that, you know, like, exactly. You were capable of purchasing that. That's a good request, because, like, I know exactly what you want.
It could
happen. I was thinking that as well.
Could happen. Yeah, if any listeners out there just want to play the role of Santa, that would also be totally fine. Yeah, that would be nice.
So, Keith, they do have octopus.
Really? Okay. And it pairs with?
It pairs with chili peppers, chives, chorizo, dashi, garlic, ginger, lemon juice, mint, olive oil. The list goes on and on and on. Apparently octopus, chorizo, and lemon flavor affinities. And so it lists all these different things together.
Yeah, I would have guessed the lemon or like even lime. That the chorizo is, that's the surprise to me. That's like, chorizo, interesting. Okay.
Because I almost wonder the texture on that.
Mm.
I don't know if those two textures would go great together.
I don't know. Yeah. Now I'm just going to have to go about preparing it. Eliza, what is on your list? And just in case Nana is listening, let's hear it.
No, yeah. I'm in the mindset of food science merch when I was making my Christmas list.
Okay.
So I was thinking chemistry cookie cutters.
Right.
So, you know, every year you make those sugar cookies and you decorate them. And I was on, like, I think Etsy, and I saw ones that you could get them. But it said it was like an element cookie, like from the periodic table, like the square. But it would say like the first letter of your name and then your name. So there's one that was like a G and it said Gabriel. But it was like designed like an element on the periodic table. And then there was other ones that were just like food based or just, I feel like that's a great way to tie in food science, just having like the science cookie cutters and then the cookie.
So, that's awesome.
That is so cool. I'm just looking at my, at the periodic table, which is of course hanging on my wall right here, and thinking, wow, 118 sugar cookies in the form of the known elements. That would be a true scientific holiday party.
Right.
Okay. That's so for the next gingerbread house competition, we have our mission.
Yeah.
We know what to do. We're making the periodic table.
Yes. Yes.
Forget the gingerbread house. We're doing the periodic table.
We've got a whole year to plan this out. Okay.
That's right.
And then the other thing I was looking at is it was a flask drink tumbler. So it was it's basically like a flask, like the glass one that you would see in the lab, but they turn it into a water bottle almost.
Okay.
So it has like a rubber bottom and it's not like glass. It's water bottle safe. So like you can drop it and it has a little straw and it's just so cute. Like, I feel like that would be so fun to have in the lab with like your coffee, like sipping through a flask.
Very cool. Yeah.
Unless you get it mixed up with the wrong flask.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that would be true. Really good. Yes, this is
labeled
true.
Very, very clearly.
Yes.
And only in a food grade lab.
Yes.
Yes. Let's be chemistry safe. All right.
We want our departmental safety person after us, Ruth, would get us.
That's right. Well, I think this is a good time to bring this holiday episode in for a landing. So, whether you're celebrating Hanukkah,
or Christmas,
or Kwanzaa,
or Bodhi Day,
or Yule,
or none of the above, we wish you all a peaceful and jolly.
Dare I say holly jolly?
Yes, you dare. And to 2023 and a great beginning to 2024.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
If you'd like to find out more about our podcast, Wolfing Down Food Science, please check us out at NCSU's Food Bioprocessing and Nutrition Science website, where you can find our show notes, reference links, and more. You can find out more about NC State, our department, and FS201, the amazing course that has brought us all together, on our website as well. Please don't forget to subscribe to Wolfing Down Food Science wherever you stream your podcasts like Spotify and iTunes. Thanks for tuning in to Wolfing Down Food Science. See you next time.